So good afternoon. I'm Mike Niehaus, Senior Product Marketing Manager for Microsoft. This afternoon, we want to talk about Windows RT in the enterprise. And really, to start off that discussion, we kind of need to position Windows RT to see where does it fit, because we're not trying to say that Windows RT is a general purpose machine that you would use inside of your enterprise. It's something that has a specific purpose. It's something that has some cases where it's going to be very well suited and some cases where it's not necessarily so well suited. So generally when we start these types of discussions, we try to position the types of tablet devices that are out there. And we generally think of them as being three different types of devices. We have Windows 8 Intel Core-based 64-bit tablets. These are things like the Surface Pro, the Ultrabook-style machines that have quite a bit of power that can run full versions of Windows 8, Windows 8 Enterprise. You can get all the enterprise-related functionality out of them. They can join a domain. They have all of the group policy functionality, everything that you're used to with a traditional Windows machine in your enterprise, just in a smaller form factor, fully touch-enabled, everything like that. There's a second type of device then, the Intel Atom-based devices. These Windows 8 tablets are using a much lower capability processor. The Intel Atom processor is designed for long battery life. It's designed for lightweight. It doesn't generally require any types of fans or anything like that, so you get the smallest possible devices, but you don't necessarily use these to run large databases or large spreadsheets or Visual Studio or anything that requires the CPU horsepower that you would get from an Intel Core-based machine or any other 64-bit machine. Windows RT tablets are much closer to the Intel Atom-based machines. They have a lot of the same capabilities from a performance perspective, but you give up some things when it comes to the types of applications that they can run. Any of the Windows 8 machines can run desktop applications, can run the new modern apps that you get through the Windows Store. Windows RT machines can only run Windows Store apps. Besides what's built into the operating system, you can't run any additional desktop applications. You can't install any desktop apps on these machines. So it really becomes a kind of a positioning discussion of what are the three types of machines. So we talked about those, and yeah, it'll be a little small on the screen, but we'll just kind of walk through it. Then we need to talk about, well, what capabilities do you need from these devices? The categories that we like to break it down into are mobility, so we need to be concerned about the weight and the battery life of these machines. Workload, where we're primarily interested in whether you're running casual apps or whether you want a more intensive application workload running on these devices. The apps themselves, if you want to run desktop apps, Windows Store apps, line of business apps, or remote applications, depending on the answers to that, we may choose different devices. The connectivity requirements, do you require access to the corporate network? Do you just want access to the internet? Do you need always-on access, which we provide through Connected Standby, which we're now starting to call Instant On? Or do you, really, what type of connectivity do you want? And then on the manageability side, do we want the full manageability that we're used to with group policy, with System Center Configuration Manager, with tools like that? Do we want just basic governance, things that we can get through Exchange Active Sync? Or do we just need something in the middle? Do we need some type of simple, lightweight management that we can get through Windows Intune or a similar mobile device management solution? Depending on our selections there, we can pick which devices are most appropriate. So in the case of mobility, the Intel Atom and Windows RT-based devices are going to offer the best battery life and the lightest weight. The Intel Core machines are going to support the biggest workloads. Any Windows 8 device is going to run the most applications, although you can always run applications remotely using remote desktop services or VDI or other capabilities like that. Windows 8 Enterprise is going to give you the best connectivity with direct access. You're going to have the most flexibility for VPN connectivity through a Windows 8-based machine. That doesn't mean Windows RT is completely cut out, there are just some limitations that you'll run into as far as what software you can install on it to give you connectivity into your network. We've improved on that some in Windows RT 8.1 to give you more VPN connectivity capabilities, but it still may not provide everything that you need. From an always-on perspective, at this point, Intel Atom-based machines and Windows RT machines all support this instant-on capability or connected standby. In the future, when Intel's Haswell-based machines come out, then the Intel Core machines will pick up that capability as well. But for right now, if you want machines that kind of work like your phone, where they can always be running applications in the background, talking to the internet, talking to your corporate network, and receiving data and information while your machine's sleeping, then you would choose an Atom or RT-based device. The manageability side becomes easier. Any Windows 8 device can be joined to Active Directory, can run group policy. Any Windows RT device can't. So Windows RT devices, primarily you're going to manage those using an MDM solution or using Exchange Active Sync, where Exchange Active Sync is just used to enforce basic settings on the device. So you kind of go through this matrix, and as a result, you'll find some scenarios where Windows RT devices work well, some scenarios where Windows 8 devices would work better. You shouldn't expect one size fits all. You need to look at each of the different device types and pick based on the scenario that you're looking at. We've worked with customers who have decided to use Windows RT devices for their salespeople working in a retail establishment where they carry around a machine all day to help customers. We've seen these Windows RT devices used with road warriors who just want to be able to easily check on their email from wherever they're at. So there are a variety of scenarios where these devices work really well. But if you're dependent on a whole suite of locally installed applications, this might not be the best device for you because most of those apps are probably desktop applications that you can only run remotely via remote desktop services or Citrix or something like that. You wouldn't be able to install them on a Windows RT device. So just keeping that in mind, there are scenarios where RT works well. There are scenarios where it's not necessarily going to be the best operating system for the job. So let's dig deeper then into Windows RT. First off, they are designed for long battery life, to be thin, light, and sleek. They all run on low power ARM processors from a few different vendors. They are, as we describe it, high quality and predictable experience over time. So first, they always come pre-configured with an operating system image on them. You can't create your own operating system image to put on these. There just are no operating system deployment tools for Windows RT. The OEM builds the image, the OEM preloads that on the device. Microsoft then assures and monitors these devices to make sure that over time the performance doesn't degrade. We want to be able to monitor these devices and make sure that you don't go from 8 hours of battery life when you first get the device down to 4 hours of battery life after you install applications on them. So we're constantly monitoring the devices to figure out how can we make sure these continue to run at optimal levels. There is a lot in common between Windows RT and Windows 8. So it shouldn't come as any surprise that you will see the same UI, the same desktop, the same capabilities between the two operating systems. Most Windows Store apps run on both Windows RT and x86. Last time we checked, I think it was around 97% of the applications will run on both. That's not too surprising because Visual Studio, which you would typically use to build these, most people will use either .NET or HTML and JavaScript to build these applications, and those are both natively cross-platform. When you build these applications, there's nothing that prevents them from running on ARM and x86-based machines. So as a result, we have a high percentage of apps in the store that will run on both. So application selection, generally not a problem. The same Windows Store apps that are available on Windows 8 are also available on Windows RT. One of the advantages that we get with Windows RT over some of the other tablet-based devices is we also include a large list of compatible peripherals. There is a compatibility center where we list all of the different devices that we've tested and actually certify. But basically, what we wanted to avoid is the typical Windows 8 scenario where if you wanted to attach a new device, you needed a new driver. So in Windows RT, we've moved away from that model and into a model that uses class drivers, where we have one driver that can support a large number of different devices. And we provide class drivers for the typical things: USB storage, USB disks, USB keys, Bluetooth keyboards, USB keyboards, mice, cameras, printers, a variety of different things that you would typically want to connect to your PC. You can probably plug into a Windows RT device and it will work okay. There are some exceptions to that, like on a Windows RT device, you can't plug in an Ethernet adapter. Well, they're designed for long battery life. They're provided with a power-optimized wireless adapter. There's not really any such thing as a power-optimized USB Ethernet adapter. They're just draining on the battery, so as a result, the operating system doesn't include a class driver for those. But there are a lot of devices that you can just plug in and use with these. In the case of Windows 8.1, Windows RT 8.1, we've made a variety of enhancements to really improve the enterprise functionality. We recognized with 8.0 that there were some gaps and there were some things that we needed to fill in. So we've taken a lot of those and integrated them into 8.1. Windows RT, of course, picks up the same advantages that you're already starting to hear about with Windows 8.1, and you'll see a lot more of those in the keynote tomorrow morning. We've made improvements to the start screen to make that easier to use. We've provided some additional capabilities around the snap view, which we'll be able to see in the morning keynote. We've simplified the process of installing updated apps on the device. So now we can say automatically install updated store apps instead of making everyone notice that there's a number on the store app, click the store app, click on updates, click on install. So getting rid of that click cycle that you would go through two or three times a week, we can now automate that. We've provided a lot more capabilities around the APIs and the mechanisms that you use to build these applications. All of those discussions are going on starting later today in San Francisco as part of the Build Conference. So a lot of the developers of these Windows Store apps are there watching the sessions where we start to disclose all of the new API capabilities. From a security perspective, we've continued to add additional security capabilities. We've provided more manageability enhancements, and we've provided more mobility. So really, a whole host of new features included in 8.1. So we'll start to drill in to see just exactly what do some of those mean to Windows RT. But before we get into that, the first question that usually comes up for people is, okay, I have a Windows RT device today. How am I going to get it to 8.1? That's where the Windows Store comes in. Everyone will be able to install the Windows RT 8.1 update, the preview version, through the Windows Store. That'll be available soon. And the process that you would go through is to download an optional update that you'll install on the machine. Once you do that, the Windows Store will present you a notification telling you that the preview is available. As soon as you click on the button to install it, it'll download the new 8.1 operating system image. When it's all fully downloaded, it'll install that, reboot your machine a couple of times, and now you'll be running Windows 8.1. Fairly easy process to do. The only thing that I would caution you about is read through the FAQ before you do this, because there are a couple of gotchas on that. One is, this is not production code, this is a preview. Use at your own risk. That's the standard Microsoft beta announcement. And the second is, there's no complete path from Windows 8.1 preview to RTM. So when the RTM release comes out, you'll be able to migrate from preview to RTM, but your applications won't. Now on Windows RT, that's not a big deal. You'll get your data, your accounts, that'll migrate through, but you'll have to reinstall your applications. Fortunately, that just means launch the store, go to the All Apps view, the My Apps view, see all of the apps that you've licensed but haven't installed and click the install button. It'll download them all again. It'll install them all again. So it knows what applications aren't there, and it'll be easy to put them back. But the update process from preview to RTM doesn't preserve applications. The process to go from Windows RT8 to 8.1 preview preserves everything. The process of going from Windows RT8 to 8.1 RTM preserves everything. We just don't support previewed RTM because, well, that requires a whole lot of extra testing and development that we just as soon not do. We'll fully support, fully test the whole preview update process and the RTM update process from the original RTM release, but not preview to RTM. So easy enough to do. You'll see the instructions for that coming out here shortly that explains how to do that, both for Windows 8 devices and for Windows RT. When we talk about manageability then, there's kind of this range of manageability. On the full control end of the spectrum, this is what most enterprises are used to today, using things like Config Manager and Group Policy to do full enterprise management of Windows 8 devices. Windows 8 Pro, Windows 8 Enterprise both support these capabilities. Windows RT, though, doesn't really support that option. Windows RT goes farther down the spectrum. With Windows RT 8, the original version, we supported lightweight governance using Exchange ActiveSync, so we could force certain security settings on the device, which were part of the normal Exchange ActiveSync protocols. We also supported some lightweight management capabilities through Windows Intune. With Windows RT 8.1, we've opened that up to provide an open mobile device management agent that's built into the operating system, not just in Windows RT, but also in Windows 8, where Windows Intune would use that to give you a much better light management capability than what you had before, but it's also open for third parties. So deciding which of the management capabilities best fits your needs kind of goes back to those scenarios that we talked about initially. If your scenario is, I want to be able to make VPN connections and put it on my corporate wireless network and I want to push applications out to it, well, now you're talking about that lightweight mobile device management. If all I want to do is ensure corporate security policies so that I can get to my email, hey, Exchange ActiveSync works great to enforce those governance settings. Now, the mobile device management implementation that we put into Windows RT 8.1 and Windows 8 is based on the Open Mobile Alliance data device management protocols. We have an agent included in the operating system that enables cloud-based management over HTTPS. So basically, there is an enrollment process that you would go through on the device to sign the device up with the MDM cloud-based solution. That would be implemented by Windows Intune. That'll also be implemented by AirWatch, Mobile Iron, and additional vendors because it's a fully open protocol for them to use. We've already been working with a few of the MDM vendors, so they'll be coming out with announcements soon to say, here are the capabilities that we'll provide. But we expect additional MDM vendors starting this week with the full protocol publishing that we'll do at build to start work on their support as well. The functionality that's provided through this mobile device management really is the typical lightweight management capabilities you would expect. We can gather hardware and software inventory. We can configure a list of settings, not like group policy where you have thousands of them, but potentially hundreds of settings that can be configured this way. We can push out applications. We can provision certificates. We can provision wireless. We can provision VPN, so we can push out those types of more complex configurations. And we can do data protection. So included in Windows 8.1 and Windows RT 8.1 is the remote business data removal capability, which is much easier to think of as a selective wipe. But the basic process is that we know what data has been placed onto this device from a corporate network. And when we issue a wipe to that device, we can delete just that corporate data and leave the personal data alone. So you can keep those two segregated on the device and wipe only the appropriate things if that device is lost, if the person leaves the company. So much more granular control over something like that. There's a question. Okay, so the question was, does that mean that we don't need to buy sideloading keys to enable sideloading on Windows RT? No, the sideloading is still required if you're going to be deploying applications through MDM, because the MDM agent is still providing sideload functionality. The mechanism that it uses is sideloading. Now, the product keys are provided for Windows RT devices as long as your primary Windows 8 device is covered by software assurance. So if you have software assurance for Windows on a Windows 8 device, then the key would be free for all of your enterprise's Windows RT devices. But if you just have a Windows RT device and no corresponding software assurance, then yes, you would need to purchase a sideload key. So we've got lots of capabilities being provided by that mobile device management agent. Beyond that, we have additional management capabilities being added. We've talked some in the keynote on Tuesday about workplace join. That's also supported on Windows RT with 8.1. This is a registration process. We can register a Windows RT device in Active Directory, which issues certificates to the device, stores details about the device in Active Directory. Then we can use that as part of our dynamic access control. So when the device connects into your enterprise, whether via VPN or a web application proxy or whatever mechanism you're using to connect to your corporate data, it can have security that says, is this a trusted device or not? I'll allow the user to access data from a trusted device, but I won't allow the user to access data from a non-trusted device. So it's really about providing that extra level of control for devices that I'm willing to trust. This is tied into Windows Server 2012 R2, so that functionality does require Windows Server 2012 R2 backend for the web application proxy and some of the dynamic access control capabilities. And because it's tied into some new Active Directory objects, it does require the 2012 R2 schema. It doesn't require 2012 R2 domain controllers, but it does require a schema update. So that's not too hard to implement. Let's just switch over for a minute to the device, and let's look at a few of the manageability capabilities that are built in. And actually, I'm using the device to do my presentation, so let me escape out of that. And let's look at a few things. So first of all, we have the ability to do some basic configurations through the PC settings. So a lot of the things that before were part of a separate control panel where you had to switch to the desktop fairly frequently, we now can do most of those through the PC settings directly. When we get into workplace settings, we can do our workplace join through here. So I can put in my email address and use that to join into my existing server. Now, since all of this stuff just came out, I don't happen to have a network accessible Server 2012 machine set up with ADFS that I can connect my device into, but they did go through that walkthrough in the keynote on Tuesday morning. Basically, as soon as I put in my email address, it knows how to locate the server. And then once I try to do a join, it can figure out, oh, that email address corresponds to this URL. I'll make a connection, and I'll go through the registration process. So not too hard to do that. The manageability really goes farther than that as well to even things like PowerShell. So we can actually run PowerShell on the machine just like we could on a Windows 8 desktop. So all of the standard commandlets are here. If we just type get command, we'll see a list of them. It's the same PowerShell engine that you have on Windows 8. There are a few less commandlets compared to a full Windows 8 system, but it's really more representative of what the intent is. Of course, it would help if I actually typed that command, right? It's thinking about it. But the PowerShell commands that are included in there by default are tied to the configuration of the operating system. We wanted to make sure that PowerShell was still available to do any type of configuration. So you could run a PowerShell script to do kind of the equivalent of the types of things that maybe you would do through through group policy before. Let me try to actually put an A in that command. So you can see all the commandlets that are included. The only real restrictions that are on PowerShell are that you don't have the ability to create .NET objects directly. So you can't use it as a programming language. If you want to try to build an app using PowerShell, it will be blocked from doing that. But pretty much any of the standard scripting capabilities are going to be provided. So we get lots of capabilities like that. Now, when we talk about not having group policy, that doesn't mean we don't have local policy. So we can actually edit the policy. And I can never find it because it's not listed easily, but we can run the MMC, we can add a snap in, and find the policy configurations, a group policy object editor for the local computer, and I would have to run it elevated in order for that to work, but I'm not logged on as an admin user, so it won't work for me, but you would be able to run local policies on the device. Now, by default, we don't run the policy engine. So in order for that to work, you would have to enable the group policy service. But it's out there. It's set to manual by default. You can turn it to automatic, and you can use that to set policies that then get applied to every user that logs on the device. Now, this is a typical Windows 8 installation, so we do have the ability to run with multiple accounts on this device. So it's not a single-user machine. We get the full capabilities to log in with both local accounts and with Microsoft accounts. We can't join these into Active Directory, so we can't log in with an Active Directory account, but we can log in with local accounts and live accounts. So let me switch back to my PowerPoint, and let's move forward a little bit more. There are some weird animations for you. We'll pretend that you can see those properly. The Windows 8.1 includes a whole bunch of new security capabilities, which are the items that are in yellow, which are sitting on top of other items. But these capabilities are the same in Windows RT. So we have improvements to Windows Defender, to the whole browser security model. We've hardened the operating system. We've provided more around PC health. We now support device encryption on all versions of Windows. Before it was just on Windows RT, so now it's even on the other Windows 8 SKUs. We support the remote business data removal, the remote wipe capabilities that we talked about. We've added support for biometrics, so you can use the new style fingerprint readers to do logins into the system. We've provided more support for multi-factor authentication. We can do TPM verification. We can do certificate reputation checks. So all of the same security capabilities that we have in 8 will also be present in Windows RT 8.1. We could do a session just on security. And in fact, Chris Hallam has a session this week just on security where he goes through all of these in 75 minutes. So we won't spend a whole lot of time on security, but it's safe to say that nearly every security feature from Windows 8 is included in Windows RT as well. Next is Office. So Windows RT includes a version of Office called Office Home and Student 2013 RT. This is Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote. Windows RT 8.1 adds one more application on top of Office Home and Student. It now includes Outlook. So, okay, some of you weren't overly crazy about the Mail app in the original Windows RT, which we've continued to enhance and added capabilities to over time, but it's never going to be the complete replacement for Outlook. Outlook has thousands of capabilities built into it that have taken us decades to add that in. So being able to provide a mail app that completely takes the place of that is something that the Office team will have to work on long term. So in the meantime, we've added Outlook in here, and it's really the same Outlook that you're used to on your desktop. Now, to run this, it's included by default, but because it's Office Home and Student, it's licensed for personal use. It's not licensed for enterprise use. It's not licensed to do work. So in order to satisfy that requirement, you had to have commercial use rights. Fortunately, commercial use rights are included in a variety of licensing programs. So if you're running a various Office 365 subscriptions, or if you have Office Standard or Professional Plus licensed through a volume license, select, or open agreement, or any other type of enterprise agreement in place for Office, you'll get those commercial use rights, which then apply to any of the Windows RT devices that you're using. Now, if we look at Office RT, I'm running PowerPoint to do the presentation, so it has all the same capabilities as the full version of PowerPoint. We also have Word, Excel, etc. Now, these are touch-enhanced versions, just like you would get through Office 2013. So even though this is a desktop application, I can still touch the screen. I can navigate around, I can scroll, I can pinch, I can zoom. The typical touch-type behaviors are provided. There are some enhancements in Office to enable touch mode. So we've enabled this basically by spreading the controls out so that they're easier to touch. All of the ribbons and the icons get bigger and farther spaced to make this easier to do. Same things would apply inside of Excel. We can zoom, we can scroll, we can do touch-based activities, but most critically, we get all of the standard Excel functionality that we're used to. We also have Word, no big surprise there. The biggest one is Outlook. I can ignore the security prompt. It's the same Outlook that you would see on your desktop. This is Outlook 2013. I don't have an internet connection for the device at the moment, so that's why it's showing that it's disconnected. But we could connect into Exchange. We could connect into IMAP. We can connect into POP3 services. We can read RSS feeds. All of the standard functionality that we would expect through Outlook is here. So no big surprises on the capabilities provided with Office. It can talk to SkyDrive, it can talk to SharePoint, it has the standard Office connectivity built into it. So let's pick up where we left off. And talk about connectivity. This was one of the challenges with the original Windows RT. If you wanted to make a VPN connection from Windows RT, there was one VPN client included in Windows RT. It was a VPN client that Microsoft wrote that knew how to talk to a Microsoft VPN server. Well, it just so happens that the Microsoft VPN server, which is built into Windows Server 2008, 2008 R2, 2012, implements industry standard protocols, IPsec, PPTP, L2TP. So as a result, the client that we had could talk to any backend that implemented those same standard protocols. So if you happen to be running a backend VPN server that supported PPTP, L2TP, or IPsec, you are set. However, most of you aren't. Most of you are running more specialized VPN backends that have moved to SSL, that are using more advanced authentication protocols, that are using more advanced two-factor authentication approaches. So you couldn't make VPN connections without reconfiguring your back-end VPN servers to allow different connectivity profiles for Windows RT devices. Obviously, that wasn't very popular with the security guys because they probably implemented those VPN features for a reason, and now you would go to them and say, well, you had to turn that off in order to connect these. So to fix that, we've built in additional VPN clients, working with the vendors to create a VPN client that is included in box in Windows RT for 8.1. We'll include clients for F5, for Dell SonicWall, for Checkpoint, for Juniper, and they'll be available for you to make the full capabilities of that back end work. So we don't have to make the compromises anymore. We also support multi-factor authentication. Windows RT supports smart cards as long as they meet the PIV and GIDS standards. There are some types of smart cards that aren't supported by Windows RT. In the ultimate of ironies, one of those is the standard smart card that Microsoft uses internally. So we can't use our own smart cards on Windows RT, but we can use virtual smart cards. So we have the ability to provision a virtual smart card, which gets stored in the TPM that's present in the device. And then we can enroll certificates onto that virtual smart card. We can put a pin on the smart card. For all intents and purposes, it works just like a physical smart card, but doesn't require us to actually carry the card. So we're using that. We can make VPN connections with the smart card. So you get a lot of capabilities around the smart cards by leveraging those. One of the limitations with virtual smart cards in Windows RT 8 was that in order to create one, you had to run a command line utility. There's a virtual smart card TPM manager, so vsctpmmgr.exe. You could run that command line utility and tell it to create a virtual smart card, and it would happily do that. But you'd have to run that and then have a separate mechanism for enrolling certificates onto the device. So first we had to provide better APIs to create those so that you could write a modern app that creates a virtual smart card. So we've done that part. And then we needed to provide additional certificate enrollment capabilities to make it easier to get certificates onto that smart card. So using the simple certificate enrollment protocol, we can now more easily get certificates to the device to put on the smart cards. So a lot better overall there. If we look at the device, let's go back into PC settings and look at network. We can add a VPN connection, and now we get a choice of VPN providers. So what you're seeing initially is not the prettiest thing in the world. We've still got some UI things to do to clean this up, but we have the Checkpoint, SonicWall, F5 VPN clients included. We can select them. We can then specify a connection name and the server that we need to connect to, whatever the IP address or DNS name is that we need to make the connection to. That's then fully integrated into the additional VPN functionality that we talked about a few times already around application-triggered VPNs. So you can actually create a VPN connection and then define for an app or for an IP address or for a DNS name anytime you launch the app or try to access that URL, prompt the user to make a VPN connection. So they don't need to know that before they run this app, before they try to access this web page, they need to do a VPN connection. It's built into the OS to prompt for VPN before it allows them to continue with that operation. So that's fully integrated for all of those clients. Where was I? So, like we talked before, these devices aren't going to be domain joined. So generally, the challenge is going to be, how do these devices get to the types of things that I typically want? which is going to be the data and the applications that I want. From a data perspective, Windows RT, the original version, could get to SkyDrive and SkyDrive Pro, but it could only do that when you were internet connected. It didn't actually synchronize the data to the device. So if the device was offline, the data may not actually be there. With Windows RT 8.1, we will be able to synchronize files and folders using SkyDrive. So those will be present locally, which is actually how I'm pulling up the PowerPoint deck that I'm running right now. I put it in my SkyDrive. It showed up on the Windows RT device. I could just launch it. We'll also add support for a new feature called Work Folders. Work folders are another capability in Windows Server 2012 R2. Think of it as kind of the next generation of offline folders and the client-side caching. But now instead of using SMB and protocols like that, which aren't very internet or firewall friendly, it uses HTTP or HTTPS. So we can set up on a Server 2012 R2 file server work folders that can be accessed from Windows 8, from Windows RT, even from non-Windows devices, and synchronize the data from your server file shares onto the Windows RT device as well. So there is some infrastructure requirements for that. It does require having a Server 2012 R2 server in place. There are some schema requirements tied to that one as well, but not too hard to set up to enable synchronization of file shares. We can also do remote apps, so we can use remote desktop services or Citrix or those types of capabilities to access applications running on a remote server. We can also do VDI, same basic experience. We're running on a Windows 8 device or on a Server 2012, Server 2012 R2 device. We're accessing those applications remotely and just interacting with them on the client. The remote desktop client that's included in the OS and the third-party clients that you can run on Windows RT fully support touch-based operation, even to remote applications. So even though you're on a touch device, you don't suddenly have to switch to using your keyboard and mouse. Now, that does depend on the type of app that you're running in that session. So if you run a desktop app that's not very touch-friendly, then, okay, you're going to want to switch to keyboard and mouse. But fortunately, most of the tablet devices that we're talking about have that capability. It's easy enough to use the keyboard and mouse. In the case of my Surface RT device that I have here, I switch back and forth all the time. Not a big deal. So we have all of those capabilities built into the operating system. We have a remote desktop client available. We have remote assistance available in the operating system, but that's the only inbound capability is through remote assistance. Otherwise, it's all outbound. So it really behaves like the core Windows 8 SKU when it comes to remote connectivity inbound. It doesn't support making a connection into Windows RT. But to use Windows RT to make a connection to your desktop at work or into your laptop or machine at home, certainly it can do that using either the desktop version of the remote desktop client, the MSDTC, or the touch version that you can get through the store, the remote desktop app. Now, when we look at data access, you can see my SkyDrive here, which shows all of the information that I have available in my SkyDrive. This is actually a demo account, so I don't have too much out here. If I were running with my normal account, this would be full of all kinds of stuff. But it's just automatically enabled these files to be available offline. So even though I don't really have a working internet connection on this machine, because I can't go through the dial me back and get a text message because it won't send me a text message through my US-based cell phone, whatever. So in the meantime, I have to use anything cached on the device, and I can cache things like our Windows RT and the Enterprise white paper. We had published this. We'll talk a little bit more about that because we now have a web-based version of this as well that goes through pretty much all the stuff that we've talked about here, plus a lot more detail on the specifics of the functionality included. So we can synchronize SkyDrive. In the case of work folders, again, I don't have a functioning Server 2012 box here that I can easily get to, but we can see the work folder capabilities through I'm drawing a blank on where. That's because it's not in that app yet. It's in the control panel. So if I bring up the control panel, this is one of those things that should eventually move into the modern app. We search for work folders. We see the control panel for doing that. We say to set up work folders, and this works the same way. I just put in my email address. Based on my email address, it can determine the URL of the work folder server. I'll then authenticate to the work folder server. It will make the connection and set up the synchronization of your work folder automatically. So very simple to set up once you have the Server 2012 R2 infrastructure in place on the back end. It'll be the same basic process for remote desktop services that you would have on Windows 8. Because I don't have internet connections here, I can't easily get to that to show you how to make that connection, but you just set up the connection to your remote desktop services public app, our published apps. They all would show up with icons on your Windows RT device. When you launch it, you had to authenticate with the server, but at that point, it's the same seamless remote desktop experience that we would see on Windows 8. Now, that Windows RT in the Enterprise white paper, the Word doc that I opened before, you can also get to on the web. We published that now to TechNet on aka.ms Windows RT for the Enterprise. And I'll click on it, and it won't launch. But let's just switch over to that one on the other machine here, so we can pull it up there. aka.ms Windows RT for Enterprise. So this is the page that we have, which is a little small, but basically we have the introduction that kind of walks through that same positioning that we started off with, and then a bunch of sections that go through the individual details on security, data access, manageability, support, connectivity. These are all still the Windows 8 versions of this. We'll be updating this over time to add in the Windows 8 changes to that, but you can see some of these items have changed, like SkyDrive. It says that you can utilize it, but it then says it's not synchronized to the Windows RT device. Well, that's no longer true. In 8.1, it will be. Same thing around connectivity. It would talk about the access to VPN servers and some of the capabilities around that, but not about the third-party VPN clients because those are new in 8.1. So we'll be making all of those updates as we go forward. But you can read through that in much more detail. The paper itself, when it's in Word form, is like 45 pages long. So very much detail on all the different capabilities and limitations of Windows RT. We kind of scratched the surface of that as we went through this today, but there's plenty more that exists in there that gets into the specifics of what can be done, what can't be done. Okay, let me switch back over here. There's more information about Windows RT on the Windows RT homepage. Certainly would encourage you to check that out. When Windows RT 8.1 is available, which will happen very soon, there will be a process that you will go through that we kind of talked about earlier where you need to install a security update. It's not really a security update. It's just an update that you install on Windows RT to enable the store. Once you've installed that update, the store will be able to notify you that Windows RT 8.1 preview is available. You can then open the store, click the install button, and it'll download all the pieces necessary for doing that. So we would encourage you to try that out. You would be able to roll the device back to Windows RT, the original version, which would still be on the recovery partition of the device. So if at any point you want to back out of it, you can use Reset My PC to go back. We've made a lot of enhancements in the update process to make sure that as we go through the update process that we free up as much disk space as possible. So it's quite possible that after going through the update, your device has more free space on it than before it installed the update. Because we're doing a lot of things to clean up disk space and make sure that we can optimize for devices that may only have a 32 gig SSD in them. So making sure that we can update that type of device and leave it in a state where it has more disk space than it had before is one of the goals for this update process. So with that, I went through that fairly quickly today. If there are any additional questions around Windows RT, this would be a good time to ask. So yeah, the question was, well, what about caching with SkyDrive Pro? And that's not something that we're looking to add in the short term. In order to do that, we would need a SkyDrive Pro agent or service that runs on the device. And while we've ported most of the other pieces of Office, SkyDrive Pro is not a piece that we're doing at this point. So of the three synchronization options that you would have on Windows 8, SkyDrive, SkyDrive Pro, and WorkFolders, Windows RT will support two of them. The Office client software is certainly able to talk to SharePoint using the SkyDrive Pro functionality that's built into the apps, but only online, not through the cache content. Anything else? If you don't want to shout, there is a microphone floating around, and she'll run it to you.
Yes. So what about the RT in school for students, where you, for example, have Office 365, but you want to have some of the features of the Microsoft account to be able to synchronize the settings?
Yeah, it's something that... One of the challenges with the Windows Store all around is that in order to use the Windows Store, you need a Microsoft account. And the Microsoft accounts are, they're really consumer-focused accounts that aren't designed really with manageability in mind. So you can't bulk create them, you can't bulk manage them, you can't do password resets for the user. They basically manage the account themselves. That's something that we're still studying for post-Windows 8.1 releases. It's not something that we think we'll be able to get to for the 8.1 release to really enhance that. There are some capabilities tied into some Office 365 subscriptions, but for some of the higher-end subscriptions that are using ADFS and federated access, those aren't really Microsoft accounts, so they can't be used. So there are definitely some challenges around that.
So the scenario for students, if you have one to many, so you have a single surface for 10 students, is that a scenario that you would like to see, or would you like to have one-to-one for students as well?
Right now, if you would try to use a single account, if you did a single account per device and the users didn't use their own account, that would probably work okay. The challenge that you run into is when you install applications using a Microsoft account, that app can only be installed on up to five devices. The app can be installed on up to five devices. It doesn't matter what five devices, but only on five. So if you were to use that Microsoft account on more than five devices, you're going to run into challenges. It will fail on the sixth one and tell you you need to remove it from one of the first five. So it just kind of depends on how you set it up. If you use local accounts on the machines and then associate those local accounts with a Microsoft account, you could do things like that. You could also try to flip it around and just use a different Microsoft account on each computer. So there are options, but the options may not be 100% ideal for the scenario that you're looking at.
Is there support for the link client, specifically audio and video?
So the question was, is there support for the link client? And there is a link client. I don't think I have it installed on this machine, using the modern app. So it's not the full desktop link client that you would run on Windows 7 or Windows 8, but the mobile app, the touch-based app, does run on Windows RT just like it runs on Windows 8. It includes most of the functionality, but not all of the functionality of the full desktop client. The main items that are missing are desktop sharing, so you can share out your desktop for other people to see it. That's not possible because Windows RT doesn't include the OS pieces required to do that, just like the Windows 8 core SKU doesn't include those pieces. The other part that... there was something else that doesn't work. Oh. The guest access. The you can make a connection to a link meeting using guest access on the desktop client, but the touch modern application doesn't support guest access. You have to actually have an account and password to log into link in order to access a meeting. So other than those limitations, you can see a desktop that's being shared by someone else. You can see PowerPoints. You can see whiteboards. Most of the other functionality is supported. It's just you can't share out your own desktop like that.
Thanks.
So it's not too bad.
Will the recovery image on the Surface RT, will that include the Windows 1, 8.1 when it's updated?
The update initially won't affect the recovery partition. So if you do the reset, it will go back. We're still discussing for the RTM release if we want to update the recovery partition as part of the update, or if we want to leave that as something to handle at a later time. So that's still undecided at this point. There are advantages to either way. Being able to roll back to the original Windows RT certainly is advantageous in the short term after you've gone to 8.1. Say you discover some type of problem and you want to go back to 8. But over time, you may want to have a mechanism to update that to 8.1 so that you could roll back to 8.1 and not have to repeat that update process. So it's still something we're studying.
What about the boot to desktop? Will that feature be enabled on the Windows RT as well?
Yes. So the boot to desktop is basically a property of the Explorer. Let me close some of these windows out here to get to the desktop. So if I right-click, we go to Properties. We have options on the navigation pane here where we can choose to go to the desktop instead of the start screen. Always show the start screen on the main display, show the apps view automatically instead of the start screen itself, and then some options around sorting the items. So the same basic capabilities that are present on Windows 8 will also be present in Windows RT. I think we'll go through those in much more detail in tomorrow morning's keynote, so definitely check out the keynote. Okay, anything else? All right, I'll take silence as a no. If there are any other questions, I'll hang around up front afterwards, but thanks for attending, and please fill out your evaluations.